The next thing is your staff. You replicate your staff three ways. First, by delegating things which are not the highest and best use of your time. Next, by figuring out, you know, who does what best and making them do that, not making somebody be all things. When I used to do sales training, we would analyze all the different skill sets of a salesperson. Some may be really great at closing. Some may be very good at reactivating. Some may be very good at advanced selling somebody into different advanced programs. Some may be very good at working with kids. Some may be very good at working with parents. But a lot of sales organizations and a lot of the people, I think, in your group, because they're not scarcity-oriented, but they look at spending the least, not investing to get the most yield.
Yeah.
That's a transformative attitude. But you try to make everybody be everything. It's rare that can happen. If you need to have that happen, you need constant, recurring process training. Now, I'm going to show you right now the difference between process training and event training. Event training is the best example, I would say, it's what you're doing right now. I've tried to incorporate into three very short sessions with you the mother load, the holy grail, the meaning of business life. And hopefully your mind is awash with clarity and ideas and possibilities. But if that's all you do, the odds of you doing very much with it other than changing your mindset are very low. You got to keep trying things and testing them and attempting them and refining them and improving them, because very little of anything you ever do the first time is going to be anywhere close to great. There's a school of thought that says event training is the most important starting point, but the least relevant performance activity. The greatest is process training. It's going back mundanely each and every week to the same basic ideas and reviewing them and improving them. And if I had a pad in front of everybody or I had a blackboard, I would take a dot on the left side of the board at the baseline, at the bottom, and I would show how the first time you're exposed to new information or new ideas or techniques or concepts, you shoot way up for a little while in your ability because it's real clear to you, Rob. So I'd take a little spike about an inch up, and then I'd show that left to your own devices, you start falling down about three quarters. But now the dot's about a quarter higher than it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you left to your own devices, it'll stay there, and it'll glide down to at or below where you started. Mm-hmm. But if the next week you revisit it again, you're going to go a little bit higher than you did the first time and drop a little bit lower. Does that make sense?
Well, I think the real training, the real test, the real seminar begins when you hang up the phone here shortly.
Well stated. So I don't want to spend more time on this than that. But then you take your staff. Then the next thing you do is what is called process improvement. You break down all the elements that are leverageable. Remember I said you might have, 30 areas in your business that are leverageable?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're talking about staff right now. You figure out what either you do, what your staff does, or what the best person in NAPMA or in your community or in a group of other martial arts people or other people in other complementary but unrelated people do that you don't do that you can borrow and basically apply to your business. I have two concepts that I teach, tunnel vision versus funnel vision. Tunnel vision is doing what you do because that's all you know and thinking that doing more of that is going to get you any better outcome. That's called insanity. Funnel vision is funneling the best proven elements, processes, and approaches that other people do and combining the best ones together. Let's say you had a staff of three people, Rob, part-time, full-time, whatever.
Okay.
Let's say one, you never looked at it, one is like 10 times better than the rest at closing leads. One is 5 times better than the rest at upgrading. One is 4 times better at reactivating. But they're not all good at all of them. Well, you got three choices. Number one is segregate. Make one person do this, one person do that. Or if not, there is a process that I can teach. It takes a half hour, but guess what? I'm going to give you a document that explains it, okay?
All right.
But I'm telling you all, I'm giving you stuff that I sell or would give in a $25,000 seminar, and it's a gift for Rob because Rob has shared with me you got a very high ideal and purpose. I do not want to see this on eBay. I do not want to see this given freely to anybody. This is a gift that is only for your internal use, and I really expect you to honor that request. But there's a lot of ways to do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you're saying to match the skills of the individual with the requirements of the job.
Not necessarily. I'm saying analyze who's got the best approach to doing something and make that your norm and try to teach what they do to everybody or make them the only provider, sort of either or. It depends. You can do them both ways.
Okay.
And the first thing it takes is some very soul-searching candor and figuring out what you do great and what you don't. And not doing, I mean, again, why go from being a terrible administrator to a bad one? You think there's any leverage in that?
Not at all.
You free up all that time, and it's like my wife gets mad because I don't want to do anything manual around the house. It's not that I'm lazy. It's that if I change a light bulb, I break it. I try to repair, a picture frame that fell, but I put a hole in the wall. I'd rather use that time to make money. Or to grow my intellect, or to help another business grow.
Yeah.
It's a higher and better use of my time. Okay, let me move on because we're gonna run out of time. So the next leverage you get is borrowing other people's success processes. And one of the things I strongly urge you do, and Rob, you're in the perfect position to organize this, is, and I'll tell you what, like I said, the 93 referral generating systems.
Yeah.
We went and at our seminars, we found 93 different industries generating referrals 93 different ways. But most people in that industry, and a kind of funnel vision says that most people in an industry basically herd mentality. They just do what everybody else does, not because it's the highest or best performing, but rather because it's the only approach they've seen and know.
Sure.
So I would try to get if you look at any school that's still in business, even if they're not doing great, normally in one process they are great. Maybe they're better at bringing people in. Maybe they're better at selling. Maybe they're better at conservation, perseverance, retention. I'd figure out how many different successful ways the maximum number of schools have figured out unknowingly, they don't even know they're doing it, to do something. I would put it together in one of the most incredible collections and then overlay it and have different people in different schools try adding, testing, and reporting in like the ultimate nationwide research and success performance laboratory. And
Brilliant.
You should manage that. And I think that would be very good. And you've got, as your volunteer clinicians and your highly enriched guinea pigs, 150 or 550 or whatever people are on this call, that's pretty good, don't you think?
I think that's real good, Jay. Great idea. It really is.
Okay. So the next thing I want to talk about is you're borrowing success processes from outside and you're funneling them in. And a great thing to remember always is, you remember they always said that the old trite saying, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king? You have heard that, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Well, there's as an equally powerful statement, a concept that is as common as dirt in one industry or to some individual, that it's so common they don't even recognize it or acknowledge it, can have the power, the profitability, the preemptiveness, meaning it blocks everybody, the preeminence, meaning it lost you to superior stature of an atom bomb if you're the first or the only one that recognizes that it exists and learns how to harness it. I'm giving you a lot of deep stuff, a lot of very powerful stuff very quickly. I hope it's taking hold, Rob.
It is, yes, Jay.
Okay, so the next thing I want to talk about, because I'm going to run out of time here, is reverse goal setting. This is very important to all of you. You all have, I presume, three categories of goals in your life. One is a series, and many of these are so abstract that they're very, very, very amorphous. In other words, you have a life that's personal. You may or may not be married. You may or may not have a significant other. But you have certain goals that you may never have really verbalized that you want everybody, you want for yourself, whether it's longevity, happiness, freedom of stress, healthfulness, you know, great family, great sex, it doesn't matter. You've got that. But most people don't achieve what they want in their personal life because, number one, they've never fully articulated it, and number two, they've never reversed engineered what has to happen, not just what others have to do, but what they have to do to make that happen and and measure, monitor, and examine at different intervals and progressions on their life path whether they're there. Does that make sense, Rob?
So far, yes, Jay.
Okay, so the next thing is your school. You have two goals for your school. The first is the higher causal purpose. As Rob told me, the vast majority of you are in this full or part-time, not for the money, although you need it to make enough money that you can justify investing back in the community so you can reach and help and transform and permanently support and assist and counsel and advise and train the maximum number of children and adults. But you need a goal, and the goal's got to be constantly reviewed, and you need an action plan that is reverse engineered. Because if your goal is to be successful and you don't know what success looks like, how will you ever get there? And if you're either going to, remember I told you before, if you're arbitrarily allocating a fixed amount or a percentage, you're either spending too much or too little on advertising or marketing, Rob?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The same belief holds true with your vision for the school. If you have a goal of just being successful, if you're making $50,000 or $150,000, you may be making far too little, because the same effort, time, and effort, if you discipline yourself, if you knew where you're trying to get to, if you organize the reverse engineered actions and activities, it'd be pretty cool. For example, if right now your school is being driven by one ad or one newspaper, and that's all you're doing, and let's say that's bringing in enough that you're making $60,000 a year full or part-time, and you want to be more successful, but you never even decided what more success looks like, what do you think the odds are you're really going to get there, except for accidentally through organic growth, Rob? You think it'll be very high?
Well, you can't hit a target that doesn't exist.
Yes. So the first thing I would have you do is figure out what the hell success is supposed to look like. And let's say you really need or want $200,000. And let's say it's not even about the income. You know that amount will give you the resources, the freedom, the staff capabilities, the marketing clout to reach 10 times the community. So, okay, so right now you're running this one ad and it's making you 50. Well, if you don't change the strategy you're currently following, remember I said the greatest levers are change your marketing, change your strategy?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to have to do four times as much, which probably isn't humanly possible, with that one ad and that one newspaper. But if you add other revenue streams, other marketing approaches, you might be able to get there with a fraction. Also, you're going to have to have four times the staff, four times the facilities, four times the budget if you keep doing it the same way. Whereas if you do a bunch of the other things I've said, you can shorten the timeline, you can cut the cost by 90%, you can cut the staff, but you've got to know what you want, and then you've got to reverse engineer it. And again, if this was one of my expensive seminars, we'd spend a whole day doing that together. You got to sort of, but does this make sense?
It does, and there's a lot of people on this call, Jay, that have, say, 150 students, and their dream is to have 250 students or 300 students.
Well, you got to have a plan that's going to, again, the linear thinker, the conventional thinker, the non-Jay Abraham thinker says, okay, I got to do, if you're 150 and you want 500, you got to do 3.5 times the same thing I'm doing, 3.5 times the advertising. Whereas I would say, if you cut your attrition in half, if you increase your referrals by four times, if you improve your sales ability by double, if you increase your lead flow from the same ad by 40%, you probably could get there in about a third of the time with about one-tenth the effort and investment. Does that make sense?
You dramatically accelerate your growth.
Okay, and that's you gotta understand the impact you want to make. If your dream is to make big impact, but you haven't reduced it to literally a specific goal-oriented action plan, how do you know if you're doing it? If you want to reach all the influencers in the community and it's just an idle wish, you know, maybe you'll do it. But instead, if you had a plan to be, you know, to gift every influence a year-long program for him, her, or their loved one, or their top associate, so they would see the impact. If you had another plan to have a full-time person, you know, going out in the community, you've had another full-time plan to have somebody trading your classes for either articles in the newspapers or for events people would host at their facilities, what do you think that would do to make your abstract dream a tangible reality.
Yep.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Very much so.
So you have to do all three of those. Mm-hmm. You have to do all three of those. The next thing, I would challenge all of you to sit down right now and do that. The next thing you got to do is you got to recognize there's a bunch of things that are important. Planning, policies, procedures, being strategic versus tactical. Some of this is redundant. Having a system in place to target, to attract the highest quantity, quality, and convertibility of prospects, move them to students, move them to advanced services, move them to referrals, move them to introductions in the community, et cetera, et cetera. Then you got to constantly work on making your presentational skills more effective. Now, there was a study that I saw from a major university that showed that 43% more people will buy from you if you make your presentations multimedia. If we had done this right, I would have a webcast too, because I'd be able to show PowerPoint, and it would be easier to grasp, and you'd be grasping it from not just one modality, but from two. Does that make sense?
Definitely.
So I had leverage. It's all about leverage. I mean, guys, girls, what do you teach? You teach people how to get leverage. Leverage on their combative effect, leverage on their mind, leverage on their confidence, leverage on their life, right? I'm trying to teach you how to take the very same elements and get leverage on your business for both the economic goals you deserve and for the purposeful, the causal, the contributional objectives that are dearest to you. Does that make sense?
Jay, when you see a business of virtually any kind transform itself, would you say that part of that breakthrough is that the owner of that business just got serious all of a sudden and just took off like a rocket because they got serious about it?
No. I would say it's because somebody like myself grabbed them by the nape of the neck, smacked them lovingly on the head and said, let me tell you the meaning of business life. And the meaning of life is doing good, but you can't do good if you don't generate sustaining revenue to free you up, and you can't do that if you don't have a higher, clearer purpose. I think they had an epiphany. That getting serious is a byproduct of having an epiphany.
Okay.
Now, another insight. I believe that you have an obligation that you have to exercise throughout your organization. You've got to do it, you know, knowingly and consciously and proactively. You've got to instill and inculcate in your team the ability to do it. You've got to do this with all your students and all the parents. Every time two people come together for any reason in any way, your job and your job to teach your team members and your job for them to exercise with all the students, young and old, and all the parents is to make those people's lives better off every time you are with them. And if that means you smile and engage a parent, if that means you give them a little idea, if that means you give them a genuine compliment, but one they very rarely do get, your life is not about making money. Money is the wonderful and delightful bonus reward you get for changing other people's lives. That's a God's truth. You understand there are multiple steps to every sale, and you are clear about analyzing and mastering them all. You become masterful at using the phone because that's a great tool of leverage. It shouldn't be intimidating. It shouldn't be awkward. It should be authoritative. You follow up, follow up, follow up again, sequentially, strategically, continuously, not intermittently. You manage your time for the highest and best use. You optimize. You set goals, and you constantly monitor and test where you are, just like you do. You set goals for your students, don't you, Rob?
All the time, Jay.
You test whether you're doing your job and they're doing theirs, and if you're not or they aren't, what do?
You have these little Stripe exams, and you monitor their progress every step of the way. And
let's say they haven't quite. They either overachieve or they underachieve, right?
Yeah.
Well, if they underachieve, what do?
Well, you bring them back home and reevaluate and start the process over.
You go back to the process and you repeat it.
Yep.
If they've overachieved, then you accelerate your goal. But you can't know where you are if you aren't monitored. It's like I'm saying, Rob, I want to go to San Diego. And you'd say, great, Jay, where are you? I'd say, I don't know. Or I could say, Rob, I want to go somewhere. And you'd say, where? I'd say, I don't know, but I know I'm in Los Angeles. Or you could say, Rob, I want to go somewhere, but I don't know how to get there. I don't know what route to take. I mean, there's three or four. I'm trying to demystify something that I think has intimidated almost everybody on this call to some degree unnecessarily far too long. Does that make sense?
Okay. Makes sense.
Okay. Now, because of time, I want to do one final thing, and then I want to open up the rest of the time to something very, very, very important, okay?
Okay.
I want to summarize. I'm not going to do justice to this, but guess what I am going to do? What am I going to do, Rob?
Jay, I'm not 100%. Could it be the strategy of preeminence?
I am, but then because I'm not going to be able to do it all now, I'm going to give you a document they can borrow.
Okay.
And it's going to explain it.
Okay.
My greatest impact in the business community has resulted from teaching people a universal philosophy of strategic conduct, management, foundational thinking that transformed every company I've ever done it for. It's not original, although I have refined it. I learned it from somebody far brighter than myself. He took $1,000 and turned it into not just the biggest $450 million 800-pound gorilla in his field, but the best, the ones that did the most for the people they helped, the ones that really accomplished the most, had the greatest success, the greatest sustaining impact, the greatest numbers. The closest second was 80 million. So using what I want to share with you that I'll summarize quickly and applying it not just to the way you lived your life, but to the way you hired, the way you inspired, the way you marketed, the way you advertised, the way you sold, you will. You not can, but you absolutely will. It's unstoppable. Transform your business. I call this the strategy of preeminence, and I'm not going to do it justice, but I would be shamefully remiss not to at least share a little bit of it with you. So number one, it's based on a singular comment that your goal in your business life and your goal in your personal life is to forever be seen as the most trusted advisor to the marketplace, the community, the employees, the students, the family, the loved ones. Okay? And as such, as the most trusted advisor, you've got to constantly be focused on giving them the best reason, expert ideas and advice that are in their best interest, not yours. And you got to be looking after them on a continuum, not sporadically or just for purposes. You got to be giving them information and education that makes their life better. There is a very big that's the first thing. The second, I'll give you the foundations, then I'm going to build on it, time allowing, and I may stop, but I'll give you a document that explains it. The next point is you've got to be seen by them as their advisor for life, and you've got to be seen for them as somebody who understands their needs, their wants, their hopes, their problems, their issues better than they do, meaning you've put words into feelings that they've never fully verbalized. The only way you can do that is by cultivating a far greater empathic appreciation and understanding of where they are, not where you are. And it takes that you attitude that I explained. And in order to be the most trusted advisor, you've got to transform what you are doing, and you've got to stop being masterfully enraptured with martial arts for the beauty and the wonderment and the glory of it. You've got to stop falling in love with your profession and start falling in love with the market you serve, the students you teach, the parents who trust you, the lives you change. You've got to start visualizing their lives changing and evolving, not just in that 6 months or 9 months or 1 year of the one program you sold them, but over the life that you could contribute. You've got to have them see you as their advisor for life. You got to fall in love with them. And that requires some very powerful differences in thinking and looking and communicating. You got to see your purpose and your role as being the leader, the authoritative, consultative force in their lives. And this goes also for the people you hire. They're not just a bunch of wretched, underpaid, intellectually inferior, you know, undisciplined, whatever. If that's the case, it's your fault, not theirs, because you haven't taken on this role. You have four sets of clients that you serve, and only one are the people that pay you. The other three are the people you pay, and you've got to be as dedicated to them. The first are your team and staff. You've got to want to make them the best they can be. You've got to want them to see and share your vision, not because you thrust it down their throat, but because it's inspiring, it's liberating, it's reinvigorating. The next client you serve are your vendors and suppliers, and you want them to be the greatest contributors to you because they'll make your life better and give you ideas and share and help support your growth. The last are the advisors or the experts you use. You've got four people on your client team. You got to start looking at your students, not as customers, but as clients. Not even students. You can call them students, but let me tell you why. In a world where competition is brutal, in a world where ambivalence and apathy, which a lot of you might have about business growth, not about your passion for your profession, runs rampant, in a world where the world is trying to knock us all down to commodity status, you can't submit. You can't capitulate. You've got to draw an imaginary line in the sand and say, I'm going to revere infinitely but not arrogantly the contribution that I make to somebody's life over forever, including the lives of my staff and the lives of my community, and I'm going to be seen as your trusted advisor, never just as a vendor or provider of products or services. If you look up the definition in Webster's of customer, it's somebody buying a commodity or service. There's no distinction, no preeminence, no anything there. If you look at the definition of a client, it is somebody under the care, the protection, the life well-being, lifetime well-being of another. It's got a fiduciary connotation. If you start seeing this role of yourself and your team, if you start exercising it at a higher level throughout everything, not just your training on the floor, everyone will see you differently, and your advertising will take it on, your marketing will feel it, your connections will be deeper, richer, etc. So the essential thing you've got to telegraph and communicate to your clients and prospects is the essence that you feel what they feel and that you see and understand deeply the problem they're seeking to solve. There's a very distinct difference between giving information and giving advice. And most people give information. It has no real weight. Your role is telling people, hey, here's what you should do about this problem or situation in my best reasoned opinion, and specifically supporting it with compelling facts, contrast, case studies, projections of what it'll be like. Your role is helping people focus on the issues they've never before verbalized. And there are many people struggling to get a picture of what success looks like. You are too. That's why you're on this call. You've got the obligation and the opportunity and the moral responsibility to do it for people, one-on-one, through your marketing, through your activities. Most people don't know what something looks like until they put words to it. And you'll find that hopefully as I've put words and clarity to things that have gnawingly frustrated you, it's liberating, it's relief getting. Well, you can do the same thing with your community, with your prospects, with your students on an ongoing, perpetual, lifetime basis if you understand this. Let's see. Think about yourself. In your community, when you're buying things for your own life, for your business, for your personal life, your family, don't you gravitate towards the most authoritative, competent leaders who you know are looking after your best interest, people who wouldn't let you make a mistake, who wouldn't let you not buy because it's not is not in your best interest, who wouldn't let you buy too little, who wouldn't let you just sort of decide for yourself the cheapest because they care more about your well-being than even you do, well, you've got to be able to do that, but not do it in an intrusive or dominant or forceful way, but in an authoritative leadership way that is so authentic that it cannot ever be denied because it resonates so truthfully. You got to realize people don't always trust the system, and the system means different things to different people, so you've got to be able to show them you're right. There is a better way. There is an easier way. There is a more effective way. There is a more enjoyable way, and I want to show you what it is and why it is. You don't want to be a commodity. You got to realize everybody out there wants to feel special. Your team members want to be important and special. The parents of the children want their kids to be important and special. They want to seem important and special to you. Recognize that is human nature. You want to be special. You want to be special in your community, special in your field, special to your loved ones, special in the bedroom. You really do. It's no different in the way you, through your marketing, through your interaction, through your strategic thinking, should be with your I'm using my notes, so bear with me. You should see yourself as representing a refreshingly superior alternative you to the norm that everyone else teaches. An alternative. I'm skipping through this because I don't have a lot of time, Rob. Does this make sense?
You know, it does, Jay, and I know that if everyone on this call, including myself, were to follow your strategy of preeminence, I think we'd dramatically increase our retention and our...
Well, you will because you'll set the standard from the beginning of what their life should be like and that you should be part of it, not because it'll enrich you, but because it'll enrich them on so many intangible and meaningful physical,
sure,
mental, and other ways. I'd rather, because I'm going to run out of time, but that's the starting point of this. It's a pretty powerful concept. Here's what I want to do now. Rob, I've not done everything that I would hope, but I've done a lot in three days. And let me tell you what I want to do now for the rest of our time together with your permission.
Okay.
I want to give everybody in this call 2 minutes. I'm going to go get my water because I'm out of water again.
Okay.
I drink a lot of water when I'm doing this, and I bring a big bottle in, but I always consume it. I wanted to think about the last 3 days, all the topics we've covered, all the examples we've given, all the new distinctions, combinations, and clarifications we've made, the impact it's made on them, each one, and the singular biggest realization and understanding that they've now come away with that they can act upon. And I'm going to ask everyone, not just three or four of you like yesterday, but every one of you to be willing to contribute to each other by coming on the phone for 1 minute and saying, I'm Jay Abraham, I got a school in this, and here's the one biggest thing I'm taking away and what I'm going to do with it. Because if there are 500 people listening to this, Rob,
yeah,
or 400 people who got something totally different, not better or worse, but different, if I can show you what 20 or 30 of them got in the last half hour of this, the extra hour, the bonus hour we're giving you, because we've already used our time, I think, haven't we?
Yes, we have, Jay.
But I'm going to give a bonus hour. Then I just improved your outcome by 20 times because I increased your understanding 20-fold because you got to see it through 20 different experiences, 20 different intelligence, 20 different pairs of eyes. And that's pretty powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great networking, Jay.
So we got 2 minutes to write down what one single insight you got. Here's what I'm going to do, and please take this with the benevolent intent that is meant. I'm going to ask you to each volunteer by pushing the button when we tell you what to push and getting in the queue. We probably won't do all of you. If we don't get a lot, I'm going to volunteer each one of you. That's my prerogative. I've gifted you guys and girls probably 25 times more than I promised for very little compensation. I'm delighted to do it, but I want you now to gift each other the final step of this process. And if you're unwilling, I will do it for you. And that's not meant to be rude, but I want all of you to do it for me, okay? I'll be back in 2 minutes, Rob.
Okay, Jay, thanks.
I think everyone should make a very careful list and think back over the last 3 days. And this is an exercise for you because too many people go through an episodic event training. Make notes, never think about it. Go right back to the status quo. I'm doing this for you, not me. I already know these things, Rob. I know them pretty well. I want to make sure they become alive and that they take root in each and every one of the listeners here, and they don't just take root. They don't have one root, because one root's not going to solidify the tree. I want them to take root in about 12 different directions. I'll be right back.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, when Jay comes back, please don't be shy. We want this to be the most meaningful and impacting learning experience possible for everyone. So please step up to the plate and share with everybody some of the greatest ideas and meaningful ideas that you got from this 3-day teleconference. It would be very much appreciated.
Okay, Rob, are you ready?
We are ready. Welcome back.
Okay, I got a huge bottle of Penta water. You know what Penta water is?
No.
It's the water that is highly oxygenated. It's like triple the oxygen content.
No wonder you're so brilliant.
Well, I don't know if I'd say that, but thank you. Okay, Tiffany?
Yes, sir.
For your last great contribution to this 3-call series, you're going to tell not just a few people, but everyone on this call, how each and every one of them are going to make their contribution, knowing we're going to have to pick and choose, but we want them all to do it. They push what to get in the queue?
Okay, push the number 1, and push it only once, because if you push it more than once, you'll go away.
Okay, push 1, and let's get started. Try to express your insight, your action, and, you know, I got one more dimension. And what you'd recommend other people see if it's not as clear. Like, you don't have to see it, but if there's something else there, you can take it one more level and say, and by the way, I would tell everyone else to blank. All right? I'm ready, Tiffany. How about you?
I'm ready.
Okay. How many you got?
Let's see.
It does tell me. Just start.
Okay.
Pick one and start.
Samuel LaRosa.
Hi, Samuel. Samuel?
Okay.
Get somebody else.
We'll come back to him later.
Okay.
Okay, Troy Chetwood.
Hi, Troy.
Hi. What I'm going to do is I've realized that if I do the same thing, I get the same result. So I'm going to work on the marketing, the staff, the retention, and the selling, and I'm going to test each one and see what my results are and completely, you know, and go over the results of each one and continually do that, change those, and test them.
Okay, that's great. That's great. All right, I like that. Okay. Next.
Stephen Ray.
Hi, Stephen.
Hey. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're a little bit distorted. If you could either get closer to your phone or...
All right. How's that?
That's a little better. Go ahead. Talk
All right.
as clear as you can. Thank you.
I think what I got today, the last couple of days, is I need to start testing my marketing, especially with the headlines. That helped a lot. I'm looking forward to getting those different... options that you've written for headlines and the bartering system. I need to get more proficient in that.
Okay, and so are you? But that's a realization. What are you going to do about it? You are going to test headlines, and you're going to start either yourself or staff or both systematically experimenting with barter. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that, and I think I want to do a school survey and ask the students some certain questions that will help me in my marketing procedures.
Okay, good. Thanks. Good luck.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Next.
Chad Foster.
Hey, Chad.
One moment.
The talk yesterday, that helped me a lot, actually, because that's going to help me do most of these four things that you've inspired me to.
What are those four things?
Well, number one, don't let my fear hold me back. I've been afraid of falling off the ball because I feel like I'm doing things pretty good now, but doing more, it's going to give me more responsibility, you know?
Yep.
But the first is using my location more optimally. I was at a meeting today with a client pertaining to using a host-beneficiary relation, and we've set it up for next week to start talking about how we can start offering the people that work in the night shift the opportunity to come in and train during the day with us. And then one thing that we've already been doing, but it's through your book, Getting Everything You Can Out of All You Got, I've just started offering people different things.
Like,
we just got a 2,000%, 200%, you know, 20 times more.
That's great.
In the people that paid for a year ahead of time, which over here in Denmark is unheard of. It's month to month or every quarter if you're lucky.
That's great. That's great. That's really neat. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next.
Our next one comes from Miguel Serrano.
Hi, Miguel.
Hey, how are you?
I am great. Where are you?
I'm in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
That's a nice place to be.
God's country, Jay.
Yeah. So what's your insight and what are you going to do with it?
You know what? I think going back to the referrals by using the existing students and the client base has been very valuable. But learning about the return on the investment, I think, was one of the biggest impacts for me.
What are you going to do with it?
Well, you know, first let me tell you, when Rob called me and brought me back to NAPMA, that was the biggest return on my investment, getting access to this call.
Congratulations.
Now, after going through the referrals, being able to test the headlines, use it, I won't be afraid to spend $1,000 because one student is worth more than that to me, or triple the amount.
That's great that you understand it. And again, in the beginning, be conservative because it is worth that. But you know, if it's worth that over three transactions, start with getting back maybe or investing what one transaction is until you got certainty. But that's great, man. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Tiffany.
Clara Miner.
Hi, Clara.
Hi, Jay. I talked yesterday, and I just want to reiterate the same thing as yesterday. I think the most lucrative would be to go back to the old list of all past clients and people who prospects and either call them, email them, or contact them. But this time I've also added that whatever my message is to them, it must be a direct response message.
Good. Got to get them to take some action in essence. It's much stronger if I solicit you than if you solicit me. So keep that in mind. Good. Good luck. Thank you, and I hope that you enjoyed this series.
I did. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Next.
Denny Strecker.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I am great. How are you?
Good. I'm doing very well. My course of action actually is something that was already done. I went through our old database last night and sent out a postcard to each of the former members that we've had and set up a special seminar for them on February 16th, invited them in for a free hour.
Good for you. That's great when you take action. And how many did you send out?
The database that we have is right now is about 57 people deep.
Okay, so you sent 57 out. You sent them today, so you're not going to have any response. But send a little email to Rob and tell him how it does. I'd be very interested. And if it's as successful as I'd hope it would be, you'll be very well rewarded for your initiative. Thank you.
Jay, how about a follow-up phone call since there's only 57 people?
Yeah, no, absolutely. But that's only the first step. You're exactly right, Rob. I'm sorry. I'm not in consultative mode. I'm just thinking about the spectrum of different perspectives that each of the people reporting has taken so far. But thank you very much. Next.
Christina Hardy.
Hi, Christina.
Hi, Jay.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm really good.
Well, due to this teleconference, I decided to take a look at the numbers for 2003-2004 to see what I spent on marketing. And I saw that my marketing for 2004 was 40% higher. So was my growth. And I don't think I would have looked at those numbers if it weren't for the teleconference. So that's given me the motivation and insight I need to focus more on my marketing.
Okay, very good. And a comment, the numbers are the pathway to enrichment. There's a new show that just started. I haven't seen it, but it's called Numbers, and the teaser for it, the previews are really cool. This guy is a detective, but his brother's a mathematician. He says everything can be backed out by the numbers. And I've learned that, see, the best part about what I've tried to teach you, which I hope has made a point of itself in your mind, is that this isn't complicated. It's a science. It's a numbers game. It's analytical. It's not, it's like, I'm sure that there, you know, martial arts, I think, might even be a little misleading, Rob, because it really is a science, isn't it?
Oh, thank you.
Rob?
Yeah, it really is. It's a science.
As a science, anybody can learn how to become, maybe not expert, but proficient.
Yeah.
As a science, anybody on this call can become far more capable of a successful strategic marketer. Thank you. Next.
Adam Mitchell.
Adam?
Jay, Adam Mitchell out in beautiful, sunny New York today.
Is it really?
No, we just got dumped on with a lot of snow.
We're having rains here, but not that bad.
Yeah.
Bad. So what was your biggest insight, and what are you going to do with it?
Well, Jay, I got to say it's going to be maximizing my leverage points a lot more than what I'm doing. There's so many areas of opportunity that I believe that I've missed over the last few years, and I'm going to become a lot more diagnostic with them, breaking everything down, actually sitting down, putting it all down on paper, and looking at where I can spend my time a little bit better with all the different resources that I have available to me here at the school and with the people that I have here, not just the staff, also my clients and community groups around me.
That's great. Good for you. Thank you for sharing that. Next.
Vicki Neiman.
Hi, Vicki.
Hi, Jay. We're out here in Hastings, Nebraska.
How is it cold there?
Well, it's 31. It's nice today.
That isn't so bad. I used to live in Indianapolis, and it was always very cold there, too.
Well, we've had 60, but we feel like we're at about 110 right now with what we've learned in the last couple days. My husband and I run our school, and one of the things that's gotten us the most is the strategic versus the tactic. I mean, the tactic's been paying the bills, and we're looking at the strategic marketing now, the goal, building a future. And one of the things I wrote down before I even started talking today was if there was a possibility of getting an email with all the other participants and do a mastermind group, and then lo and behold, about a few minutes into it, you go, you know, that'd be great if you did this.
Well, I suggest that Rob figure out how to organize something.
Right.
And,
yeah,
and,
Rob does
and monitor it. Your progress and collaborate, because I think the truth of the matter is those of you, I mean, Rob and I have remarked that marketing is not, for whatever reason, a highly regarded element in your field, and that those people on this call are an elite group. So whatever numbers of you there are, you ought to band together. And I think I can help Rob in a couple of minutes offline figure out how to build this out for you guys so you can get the most out of it. And we'll talk about it. But thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Next.
Elena Collis.
Hi, Elena.
Hi, Jay. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Elena.
I'm calling from Coral Springs, Florida.
All right.
And my husband and I own a school here. And I think what I got the most out of so far was the multiple streams of direct response marketing, putting out more than one way to get new leads in. And what I think I'm going to do is immediately institute two new referral systems into the academy and delegate those to my best staff member to get them started. Okay. And I'm also going to sit with my husband, who, again, we own the school together. We're going to sit and brainstorm together on different ways to generate new referrals into the school.
Great. That's good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Elena.
Hector Rodriguez.
Hi, Hector.
Hi. How are you doing, Jane?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm losing my voice. That mean, let me know if you can, you know.
You're fine. Go ahead. What's your big insight, and what are you going to do with it?
I'm calling from here. I'm very close for Coral Springs. I started calling from Sunrise, Florida. And nice weather today, actually, very sunny. I would tell you this, these teleconferences, 3 days have been like a wake-up call. Some of these things I know, but I don't been using. And the most important one is actually the most I like it. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. It was when you explained the concept about become the most trusted advisor, fall in love with your student and the family. I think that's the key. With that, everything else will fall in place. So I need to organize myself. I've just been writing, you know, list of things that I like. I have like 17. When you ask for write one, I wrote 17 already. But that one, I think, is occupied the first place right now.
That's great. Thank you very much, and the very best of luck to you. Let's do one more.
Okay, our final one comes from Ken Chun.
How you doing? Hello.
I'm here. We can hear you. Go ahead.
Hi, Jay. I've been hearing a lot of different single, techniques, if you will. I think the thing that I got the best out of the past few days is that it's really not just one single thing, that it's a complete system and something that has to be monitored and analyzed and massaged on a continual basis. I just got started a few months ago in my own class. It's not actually my own school. I'm actually doing something in a fitness center. And I've always been kind of thinking that it's a one single thing, and it's really not. It's a variety of different things that have to be looked at as a whole group. And that's, I think that's the most important thing I got out of your seminar so far.
That's a great insight, and I thank you for that. Rob?
Yes.
See by the clock on the wall or on my hand that we've overstayed our visit by about a half an hour.
Yes.
It will be all of you about a week because I have to go out of town tomorrow early and won't be back until the weekend, but I will confer with Rob and I'll get him all the things I promised, and probably, knowing me, some surprises for your internal use only, not for distribution, not for resale, not for anything other than to enrich your ability to enrich other people's lives. I hope that I have achieved the goal that you expected. I hope we gave you the information you wanted. If I exceeded it, then I would be a model for you. I'd like to be a model for you in what to do with your own actions. And I have great faith in you to do a lot more. And the last comment I would make, I may have said it yesterday, I may not. A good friend of mine teaches high achievers how to achieve higher. And he says, and I like to repeat it, that the majority of people in business, They frustrate themselves by struggling with the wrong question. They don't really say it outwardly. It's sort of a non-verbalized question. The question they ask is the goal I've set achievable? Am I worthy of this goal? Can I really make $200,000 in my school? Can I really go from part-time to full? Can I really keep doing this until retirement and make enough of a living? Can I really make a difference? And he says that as soon as you understand all the powerful methods, strategies, concepts, and combinations that have always been available to you, but you've never really been exposed to, you will quickly start asking a totally different question. From now on, the question you should be asking is the goal worthy of me, because I'm so much better. I can accomplish so much more in my community. I can impact so much more, so many more people. I can create so many more students. I can have a relationship with them and contribute to their life so much longer. I can help so many other people that they associate or related to, live around. I can make my efforts produce such greater results that I would think about that. Anyhow, Rob, I don't have anything else to say to you.
Jay, this has been an extremely enlightening and simply extraordinary experience. And on behalf of everybody on this call, I'd like to give you a heartfelt martial arts bow and a double high five and leave everybody with a quote. Aristotle said, "We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit." And I know that Jay Abraham has inspired us all today, yesterday, and Monday to make our marketing a habit instead of an episodic event. And Jay, I know that your words and your wisdom will change our lives. Thank you so very much.
You are infinitely welcome. And my expectation is extremely high for each and every one of you. I don't want to see you let yourself down. Good luck.
Thank you, and thank you all. Bye-bye.